message.
Angel.
All right. Okay, we are in the third and final message in our series, Is It Really True? All right, there, musicians, y'all can let me go home and take it. And I give y'all the signal, y'all just jump right in there. Pastor Toby started us off in the series. Pastor Kelly preached last week on it, and today I'm supposed to wrap up this message. Is it really true? Let me ask you this. Is there anybody here who has ever believed something was true, and you knew it was true, you knew it was really, really true, and you found out it wasn't true after all?
Yeah.
Is there anybody here who ever had a crush on somebody, and you, so wonderful, they're just so great, they're just so absolutely wonderful, and you found out a little bit later it wasn't true at all?
Yeah.
Is there anybody here who ever went and bought a used car and you thank God for that blessing, and that thing took every penny of your savings on repairs that you ever had? Anybody ever here been on a sports team or been cheering for a team, and you just knew your team was going to mop the other team off the court, mop them off the floor, and at the end of the game, you said, you know, if them referees hadn't cheated. Been there too, huh? Uh-huh. Ever knew you aced an exam in school? You knew you did what needed to be done, and when you got your... You just wanted to cry over that thing? Didn't there? Now, there are some things we can be wrong about, and they don't have a whole lot of consequences when we find out the truth. You can go to McDonald's, and you can order you a double cheeseburger, and you can tell them, don't put no onions on it. All I want is just ketchup. You get that little bag, and you smiling when you're going out through the drive-thru. You driving down the street. You go and you bite into that thing and you taste them onions. I told him I didn't want no onions on my sandwich. Now, if you really get upset, you'll take that sandwich back. But most of us, since it was only a dollar, we too embarrassed to go back. So with little things like that, it doesn't matter if what you believe was false. But there are other things that have bigger consequences. If you drive it, and you think you can make that red light, and there's a tractor trailer coming at a right angle who sees the light changing and is not slowing down, and y'all get there at the same time, how many of you know you're gonna lose? If you got a pain in your side and you say, I ain't going to no doctors, they don't know nothing, and your body is trying to tell you something is wrong over there, and you keep putting it off and putting it off, I don't care how much you believe it's all right. If that's cancer over there in your body, you are missing out on some valuable treatment time that can be yours. Or if you believe you can trust an individual that you may or may not know, and your belief is wrong, you can be swindled out of your money. You can be betrayed in a relationship. You can even end up dead through murder. It really is important to know the truth in advance, because the price of not knowing the truth may be a lot more than what you are willing to pay. Now, we're asking the question, is it really true? Let me ask you the question, those of you who aren't Christians today. Is it really true what you believe about God? Is it really true that you are good enough to go to heaven without Jesus Christ? Is it true that God grades us on a curve because no one is perfect, and as long as we think we know five people who are worse than we are, well, I know I'm going to heaven if they're going. Suppose they ain't going. Is it true that God does not care what we do so long as we say we love God and try to do the right thing some of the time? Is it really true that there really isn't a God and God is just something preachers done made up in order to get our tithes and offerings and to try to control people's lives? Is it true that there is a heaven, but there is not a hell? Is it true that it doesn't matter what you believe, so long as you are true to what you believe in? Is it true that once you die, that's it? It's just blackness, a little mist flowing through the air. But you're not going anywhere. You just laying there. Now, my friends, if any of these statements are true and you are right, then Jesus Christ is a liar. And we may as all just get up from here right now and go home and try to have as much fun as we can, because we can all agree on one thing that is true, and that is every last one of us is going to die. I don't care how good you look today. 200 years from now, we will all be dead and gone. And the moment we die, we're going to know there is an afterlife. We're going to know there is a God. We're going to know that there is a judgment. We're going to know that there is a heaven, there is a hell, and we're going to know that we'll be spending time in one or the other. How can I be so sure of this? Because I've got the testimony of a person who died and came back to life again and told us what to expect. You see, God loved this world enough so that 2,000 years ago, God took on a human form in order to help us live with our sins forgiven and our trust placed in Him. God took on a human body in the form of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus became an adult, He preached that God loves everybody and that in loving God back, our lives would be changed. Now, the first step in loving God is asking God for forgiveness for living without God and disobeying God's commandments. That's called repentance, turning and going in the other way. Jesus called for people to repent. How many of you know that will cause people to get upset and angry with you? You ever walked up to somebody and told them what you are doing is wrong and you need to stop, and they said, let me give you $5 for telling me that, I appreciate that so much? It usually don't happen that way. Usually you better mind your own business. And that's what they had toward Jesus. Some people didn't want to stop the wrong things they were doing. Some of them felt they were good enough and that they didn't need Jesus in their lives. And Jesus comes along and says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And some people got so angry with Jesus, they just wanted to kill him on the spot. They said, who do you think you are? How can we even know what you said is true? Now, Jesus turns around and says, here's how you can know it's true. If you kill me, in 3 days, I will come back to life. Now, there's no religious teacher who has offered this kind of proof as to the truth of his message. You want proof? Kill me, and in 3 days, I'll be back to check in with you. I've been arguing with somebody, and they, how do you know what you're saying is true? You just go ahead and kill me, and in 3 days, I'll prove myself. We don't do that too often. Now, Jesus knew in advance that they were going to take him up on his offer. He knew they were going to kill them. He even told the disciples, now look, fellas, when we get back to Jerusalem, the religious leaders are going to kill me. But don't let it get you too upset. It will not be over until I say that it's over. Now, the leaders believed if they kill him, they wouldn't have nothing else to worry about. Now, tradition tells us that Jesus was killed on Friday, even though it is more likely that Jesus was actually killed on Thursday. You read the scriptures close enough, it probably should have been Good Thursday and Maundy Wednesday. But we will go with tradition for the moment. They believe that if we kill him, we'll get rid of our problem once and for all. And their belief at first appeared to be true as they were beating and brutalizing him. But how many of you know, just because something looks true at the moment doesn't mean there is something else that's going to prove that belief wrong a little bit later on. And if you ever did something wrong and you just knew you got away with it, and 3 days later the truth came out, well, these leaders, they believed that they were getting rid of Jesus, but they did not know that Sunday was coming. We're going to look at a clip for a moment. For those of you who don't know the Easter story, you can catch up on these 3 days. We're going to watch this short DVD on the fact that it may be Friday, but Sunday is coming.
It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter is asleep. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilified. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sunday's are coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scar. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary, his blood dripping, his body stumbling, and his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning, and evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nailed my Savior's hands to the cross. They nailed my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raised him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, healing, forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, the earth trembles, the sky grows dark, my King yields his spirit. It's Friday, hope is lost, death has won, sin has conquered, and Satan's just a lie. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard, and a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It is only Friday. Sunday is a coming.
To realize is that Jesus's appearance on Sunday caught everybody by surprise. Even those who had walked with him, loved him, been changed by him, served him, they did not believe that it was really true. When the women went to the tomb to anoint Jesus, they weren't going to anoint a living body. They were going to anoint a dead body. And when they got to that tomb, they were shocked to discover the body was already gone and the angels were telling them, Jesus is risen. And when they got that message that Jesus is risen, and they ran to the disciples as fast as they could, and they get there and they say to the disciples, He is risen! The disciples didn't jump up and say, He is risen indeed! They said, You are out of your mind! What is wrong with you? Distress has gotten to you! You're having delusions! And then when Peter and John, they told them that the body was gone, Peter and John, they jumped up and they ran out. They ran to the tomb. They weren't running to find a risen Savior. They were running to find who stole his body. Where did they take it to? They went home after they when they got to the tomb, they looked in and they saw the burial cloths and everything. It looked like a body should have still been inside, but it wasn't. Can you imagine going and seeing somebody's coat all puffed up and the pants all puffed up and the shoes in place and there's nobody inside? When you see something like that, you believe something happened. You don't know what it was. And most of the time, you don't hang around to find out. They ran back home and locked themselves into the house. And when they're in this locked room and Jesus just appears right through the doors right there, they didn't say, praise God, it's true. Somebody said, let me out of here, it's a ghost, it's a ghost. They hadn't locked the doors, they might have ran out. Jesus says, peace be with you. And then they was able to, oh, praise God, all right. And then Thomas, he wasn't there when it happened. Thomas was one of the 12 disciples. He had seen the miracles Jesus had done. He had seen Jesus walking on the water. He had helped out with the miraculous feeding of the 5,000. He had seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. He had seen Jesus do all kind of stuff. And when they told him, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. Thomas said, don't y'all come here with that foolishness. I don't believe none of it. And everybody, it's true, it's true. Thomas says, I'm not falling for it. If I can't put my fingers in the holes in his hand, and if I can't take my hand and stick it in his side where that spear went into his body, I saw him on that cross. I saw him when he died. There's no way I'm going to believe. And Jesus wasn't in the room with them at that time, but he heard everything that Thomas had said, just like he hears everything that we say and we do, whether we recognize he's there or not. And while Thomas is going on, Jesus appears and he says to Thomas, here are my hands and here is my side. Bring your fingers up, put them in. Bring your hand, slide it in. Thomas says, my Lord and my God. You see, Jesus wanted them to know it was really, really true. I'm going to give you five ways how we can know that Jesus truly rose from the dead. First of all, to end the resurrection, all Jesus' enemies had to do was to produce his body. The Roman soldiers had guarded Jesus from the moment he went into the tomb for 3 days. Now, you don't fool around with Roman soldiers. All the chief priests had to do was to say, we got the body over at Strouders. Come see for yourself. And that would have ended it. That would have been the end. Why couldn't they find the body? Because the body was gone. He was risen. His transformed body was what he was using to appear to the people. Second reason. We know that people are not willing to give up their lives for something they know is a lie. Now, suppose you were being robbed, and you knew you didn't have $1 million in that house or anywhere else if you like me, and the thief said to you, I'm going to kill you unless you give me the $1 million you got hidden in this house. How many are you going to say, I'll die before I give up my $1 million? How many of you going to say, I ain't got no money. And if they told you, look, I saw you on Eyewitness News when you said you had $1 million in your house. How many of you going to say, that's right, I did say that on Channel 4. Go ahead, and you're going to have to kill me because I'm not giving it up. How many of you going to get a moment of truth revealed? I swear I was lying on that TV program. I wanted them to think I had something. I ain't got nothing. You are not going to die for what you know is a lie. Most of the 12 disciples are going to have to face between choosing to stand for Jesus or give up their lives. They are going to be asked, will you admit Jesus did not rise from the dead? Will you admit he is not the Son of God? All of them are going to say, he rose and he is. Some of them are going to be beaten. Some of them are going to be stoned. Some of them are going to lose their heads. Peter is going to be crucified upside down. They're all going to choose this because they know what they saw. They know what the truth really was. If Jesus had not risen, they wouldn't have given up their lives for a lie. Third, Jesus did not appear to a small group of people for 10 seconds back in the woods and disappear. He was not like Elvis, who sneaks in these little convenient markets, buys some beer, and then he goes. He is not like Tupac, who shows up for about 10 seconds at a party, and then he disappears. Scripture says at one time he appeared to over 500 people after his resurrection. He stayed around for 40 days before finally going back to heaven. And he didn't just show up as a little mist. Scripture says he sat down and actually ate a meal a couple of times with the disciples. Fourth, Jesus told us before he died that he would come back to life. And everything that Jesus said he would do in the gospel, he did just like he said it was. He said, before he died, he says, these people not killing me. I voluntarily laid down my life. You see, when the soldiers came to him and the disciples wanted to defend him, to keep him from being arrested, Jesus said, put them things away. At my command, just like that, 72,000 angels can show up to deliver me. Now, if one angel wiped out 185,000 men in the Assyrian army, what could 72,000 angels do? You see, it wasn't nails that kept him on the cross. It was love that kept him on the cross. Love for you. Love for me. Love that we might have eternal life. The fifth reason for Jesus' resurrection is that of changed lives. Before he died, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Some of you here have found that life. Some of you here, you know what it's like to have been deeply hurt by another person. And you wanted to get even, you wanted to get back at them. But you found the forgiveness that comes through Christ. And you let the love and forgiveness of Jesus flow through you. And you forgave that person. And you even feel sorry for the person. No more anger. No more resentment. You know that wasn't you by yourself. It was the power of the risen Christ in you. Some of you know what it's like to look at your life and realize that you just made a mess of things. Anybody besides me just made a mess of things. Didn't know how you was going to fix that mess of things, but you know you had made it. Ashamed of some of the things that you did. You really didn't know how you was going to get your life together. But then you ran into a risen Lord who said, let me put the pieces back the way they ought to be. You invited this risen Lord into your life. And now you're not yet all you're going to be, but how many of you can say, thank God I ain't what I used to be? Some of you know what it's been like to hear the doctor say, there's not much more we can do. You may as well call the family and make your plan. But you put your faith in a risen Savior. And you don't know if that doctor is alive who told you you didn't have time, but you know you still here worshiping the Lord of hosts. Some of you are ready to give up on life itself. Nothing you seem to do seem to be falling in place. Nothing seemed to be working out. Family getting on your nerves. Job falling to pieces. Didn't really know where to turn. You thought, God, the only way out of this thing is to just kill myself. But then you ran into Jesus. It wasn't a dead Jesus. It was a living Jesus. A Jesus who could hear your cries. A Jesus who could comfort your heart. A Jesus who could say, I got this. You just live one day at a time and follow my lead. A Jesus who said, you're not going through this by yourself. I got your back. A Jesus who could say, don't worry about what everybody else is saying about you. I mean, you know, you go crazy worrying about what other folks think. Jesus who said, you are my child and I love you. A Jesus who can say, I saw you when you stumbled. I saw you when you slipped. I saw you when you fell. But I'm here to let you know you can get back up again and start growing in me because I'm not through with you yet. Now, Pastor Kelly told us last week, she said, if you really want to know the truth, you need to go and find somebody who has a personal knowledge of the situation. Now, there are some people here today that do not know what Jesus can do. So I want you to be a witness for them to be able to tell them where they can get some answers. If I call you out, I want you to just kind of wave your hand for a moment so they can look around and say, maybe I talk to her after service. Maybe I better speak to him after service. Is there anybody here who can say, my life is not what it used to be? Is there anybody here who can say, God has set me free from all kind of things in my life? God has set me free from some drugs. God has set me free from some addiction. God has set me free from just being plain old selfish me all the time. Is there anybody who can say, I was down and I was discouraged, but today I'm filled with some hope inside? Is there anybody here who can say, I know with the choices I made for my life, I could have been dead, I could have been gone, but Jesus didn't give up on me today? Is there anybody who can say, I did not make the wrong choice because I knew Jesus was watching me, I knew Jesus was walking with me, and I knew Jesus was able to keep me, so I didn't make the choice that everybody else was making? Is there anybody who can say, I'm glad for Mary Magdalene's testimony, I'm glad for Peter's testimony, I'm glad for Thomas's testimony, but most of all, I'm glad for what God has done in my own life and the testimony that God has given to me about me? Anybody that can say, I know that the Lord is risen because he's risen in me. Hallelujah. It's true, my friend. Jesus is alive. Easter and resurrection is for real. It's true. You see, one day, all of us are going to see the risen Lord and Savior for ourselves. It is far better to see Him on this side of the grave when we can do something about it than to first meet Him on the other side of the grave. Because when you meet Him over here, when you run Him into heaven, He says, "Welcome in, my child." But if you meet Him over here and He sees you, He wants to know, after all I did for you, how could you reject me time and time and time again? It's all a matter of how are we going to meet Him. As His son, as His daughter, or as a defiant, "I will not believe no matter what." Are you ready to meet Jesus today? I encourage you to get ready to meet Him right now. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what is it that you're believing that's going to get you through? You know, we all think we are in charge. Reality is, there is not a single one of us who can guarantee that we will be breathing this time tomorrow. Not a single one of them. There are some of us, we think we as healthy as we can be and we that close to a heart attack. There are some people who think, "I walk down the street, don't know, some drive-by shooter coming down just at random." There are so many ways to go out of this world. But the best way to go is to be prepared. Knowing you've got a Lord and a Savior. God accepts us all right where we are. We don't have to say, "I'm going to wait until I get this out of my life, that out of my life." You'll be waiting until you die. Only His blood can cleanse us. Only His resurrection power can enable us to live differently. If you haven't accepted Christ, during our invitational hymn, we invite you to come forward. We'll pray with you. You can give your life to Christ and you can leave saved on this Easter Sunday. For some of us, this is the last Easter we are going to see. Make it count. Let's pray. Our Lord,